You're listening to the DeCesare Group Podcast. Welcome back. I'm your host, Jim DeCesare, and I'm glad you're here. You know, we are dedicated to highlighting the latest business and economic development trends in South Central Kentucky, but we're not opposed to sprinkling in some health and wellness advice along the way. My guest today is Dr. Caleb Davis, an experienced orthopedic surgeon with a passion for empowering people of all ages to live a stronger, healthier, and more vibrant life. Dr. Davis completed medical school at the University of Tennessee, did his residency at the University of Louisville, and his fellowship at the Florida Orthopedic Institute in Tampa, Florida. He joined Graves Gilbert Clinic in 2023 and specializes in shoulder and elbow surgery. Dr. Davis is so devoted to providing practical health advice to help people stay healthy and prevent injury that he even launched his own podcast. But today, he's sharing his valuable tips toward a pain-free, active lifestyle with us. Here's my conversation with Dr. Caleb Davis. Hey, Dr. Davis, welcome to the DeCesare Group Podcast.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me.
Well, we're excited to have you on here. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and what made you go into medicine?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Orlando, Florida. Now, I say Orlando, but it's actually from a smaller town called Apopka, Florida, which means little potato.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
I went to eighth grade at Apopka Junior High.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's so.
The Blue Devils.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's actually a big football town. A lot of stars came out of the high school there.
Yeah. So when I actually lived there, there was not much there except orange groves.
That's right.
And that's where John Anderson's from.
Is that right?
The country singer. He's from Apopka.
I was born in '89, and I lived off of a big dirt road, and now it's probably a 6-lane highway with developments all over. Those orange groves were all gone.
So that's awesome, man. So I know Apopka well. I'm a Clearwater native. But,
there you go.
So
most people don't. So I just tell them I'm from Orlando. I just say I'm from Disney World.
Yeah. and there's a. I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but this is what makes this podcast fun. The Zellwood Corn Festival every year. So I was in the band at Apopka Junior High, and we shucked corn for 24 hours straight to raise money for the band.
Yeah, Zellwood Corn and Plant City Strawberries.
That's right.
Those are the local produces, yeah.
And, of course, for all the Reds fans out there, that's where the Cincinnati Reds used to spring train until they went out to Arizona, was in Plant City.
Wow.
They're fun facts.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of interesting connections. Like, I think you're the first person who's ever known where Apopka is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely know where it is. And all right, so we know where you've grown up now.
That's right.
Where'd you go to high school?
So Winter Park High School,
okay,
which is another suburb of Orlando. A little bit
the sinkhole.
Away. Yeah.
Winter Park had the big sinkhole.
Yeah, well, there's sinkholes all over Central Florida.
Yeah,
lots of natural springs. And there was a sinkhole that opened up right in my backyard when I was a kid, actually.
Kind of like around here.
Yeah, that's right. So I was really into music. I was a professional cello player in another lifetime.
Okay.
And so I was Winter Park had the best music program in the state. We actually had three orchestras, three choirs, professional, you know, big bands. And so I was heavily involved in that.
Awesome.
So and that's where I met my wife. We were 13 years old. We met in the youth orchestra when we were 13.
Fantastic.
So she's also grew up in Orlando in that area. And we've been together ever since.
Well, I played a lot of music across Central Florida too. As you can see, I've got some drums scattered around here, but played in Clearwater High's marching band. And then Robert W. Smith was my high school band director who went on to be an arranger for lots of different marching bands throughout the country. So just recently passed away, but we got a lot of mutual connections there now.
Yeah, it's stuff we didn't even know about. You're right. That's what makes podcasts a lot of fun.
It is. So Winter Park High School.
After Winter Park, well, I got a full scholarship to the University of Memphis for cello performance.
Really?
Which is, you know, everyone, when I got to Memphis, everyone said, what are you here for?
Yeah.
They said, you're from Orlando. Why are you in Memphis? Well, they gave me some money to go to school, and I went into cello performance and had a concentration in music history. Now, obviously, you're going to ask, well, how did you get into medical school from there? And that's where things get interesting.
Yeah, you're asking my questions for me, but
okay,
go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I'm sorry to steal your thunder
just
there.
Just take off.
You know, you heard of the freshman 15? You gained 50. Oh, I had the freshman 20.
Sure.
I got into school, my mom and dad were pretty health conscious, kept us pretty healthy. I got out and instead of getting drunk and doing drugs, I just ate a lot.
Yeah,
I gained my freshman 20. I said, I feel terrible. I don't like the way I'm living. I don't think I'm healthy. And I just really dove into health and wellness that way. Lost about 40 pounds, dropped down to 170 pounds, and I'm not a short guy. I'm 6'3", so I got real skinny,
mm-hmm.
got really into nutrition and running, and that's sort of how it all started, you know, getting interested in supplements, nutrition, and exercise. And I said, you know, I was playing cello 6 hours a day in the orchestra, string quartets. I got a little burned out on it.
Sure.
And I said, how can I use this love for health and wellness and share this with other people? And that was sort of the pathway that got me started into medicine.
Okay. And so you you went from being a music major. Did you graduate with a major in music?
I did. I finished the degree in music history and cello performance, but I just did all of my pre-medical prerequisites on top of it. At the end of it, I think I took 125 credit hours. It was pretty big college load.
That is a huge college load. So then you decide to go to medical school after that.
When I was a junior in college, I decided I wanted to go to med school. I thought about physical therapy, just things that you can use your hands to help people. But I said, you know what? I want to do the hardest thing I can imagine in medicine, and that's to become a surgeon.
Sure.
And, you know, very tangible work. You're fixing people who are broken and have problems, and that's the route I went.
Okay. And so what do you specialize in?
So I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I take care of pretty much everything from head to toe below the neck, but my fellowship training is in shoulder and elbow reconstruction. So think rotator cuff, labrum surgery.
Oh, we need to talk.
Lots of shoulder replacements for those with arthritic shoulders. That's the bulk of what I do.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. As someone who's had arthritis since he was 19 years old, I can somewhat relate. And so where did you go to med school?
So I stayed in Memphis for that. By that point, I had in-state tuition, so I went to the University of Tennessee, which is not the medical schools in Memphis, not Knoxville.
Okay.
So common question I get. So Memphis, high, unfortunate gunshot wound, capital of the world. I'm sorry, capital of the country.
What is it?
Gunshot wounds.
Oh, yeah.
High amount of gunshot wounds. So unfortunately, a lot of violence there, but it's a great place for a aspiring doctor to train in trauma and,
sure.
and medicine. So I got a lot of experience there.
And but did you get to play any music while you were in Memphis, like on Beale Street?
Never played on Beale Street. I did play a lot of weddings, did a lot of freelance work just to pay through school. Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Do you know the cocktail hour?
Yeah, that's right.
Anyhow. So, you went to UT Medical, did your fellowship, did your residency. Tell us about that process.
Yeah, so I kind of bounced around all over the Mid-South. Mm-hmm. So after I did my classroom work in Memphis, but I did a couple years of clinical work in Chattanooga, Tennessee at Erlanger Hospital over there. Mm-hmm. And a beautiful city, by the way. I absolutely love Chattanooga. So after that, you go to surgical residency in orthopedics. That's 5 years of training after medical school.
Right.
And I ended up heading up to Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
So I went there and did 5 years of surgical training. And really loved it, really loved Kentucky. And I wasn't from Kentucky. You know, I figured, you know, I was 10 years in Tennessee, I'd probably end up back in Tennessee or Florida. But then before I'd even finished my training in residency, some of the gentlemen down here in Bowling Green told me to come take a look. Never even thought about Bowling Green, but I said, I've seen signs for that on the interstate.
Yeah.
It came down here. This is a beautiful city, beautiful people, really, and really fell in love right away.
That's awesome. So how long have you been here now?
Just shy of 2 years.
Okay.
So after Louisville, I went down to Tampa, Florida for 1 year to do an extra fellowship year of shoulder and elbow reconstruction, just to perfect that craft. But by that point, I already signed a contract with GGC and Western Kentucky Orthopedics, so I knew I was coming back.
Fantastic. Well, we're glad you're here. And so and I know you have a podcast too, and we'll talk more about that in a few minutes, but you're really proactive. And I think most people should be about taking care of yourself. And you know, I look at it this way. Of course, I run a lot, trail racing, you know, half marathons, stuff like that. And, you know, the reason I do it is because I want to be old and be able to bend over and tie my shoes.
Right.
You know, that's the ultimate goal, is when I'm 100, I can tie my own shoes, right?
That's a good goal.
Yeah. And so talk a little bit about some practical advice, not just to stay out of the operating room, but to live longer.
Yeah, and that's the focus of the podcast that I have with my wife is, you know, I'm an orthopedic surgeon, so obviously I get problems once they're too big to deal with, mm-hmm. with preventative medicine. But my thought was, how can I give back to people and give them information on how to avoid that in the first place, or at least prolong it? So general tips. You probably heard, don't be sedentary, and it's good to do strength training, do a lot of walking. And that's a lot of the realm I do, but I try to break it down with scientific literature to support my claims on what you should be doing. I hear a lot of people complain about, oh, doctors, all they want to do is give me medicine and do surgery. And I heard that. So I said, okay, well, here's a resource. I can give you some lifestyle things you can change. So a lot of things I focus on are, how can you have better sleep? How can you be not be sedentary? How can you keep a little bit of that muscle mass? It keeps your bones and joints healthy and keeps you functional. Like you said, be able to bend down and tie your shoes.
Right.
A lot of people can't perform a squat, just a standing air squat, once they're past the age of 60. And that actually correlates a lot with mortality, unfortunately. So a lot of what I talk about is just easy things that you can do on a daily basis to make habits to live a longer, healthier life.
So one of our sayings around this household and our family, because Brooke, our daughter, my daughter's had arthritis since she was four.
Mm-hmm.
We like to say motion is lotion.
Yes. I say that too, actually. I've said that on the podcast.
Yeah, so motion is lotion, and you know, and that helps with the sedentary. But talk a little bit about, you know, being able to tie your shoes at 60 years old, but also you mentioned people say all doctors want to do prescribed medicine. But usually the reason doctors have to prescribe medications and whatnot is because you're not living a healthier lifestyle to begin with. You know, it's all about, it mainly comes down to intake.
Yeah, I think the blame probably rests in multiple areas.
Yeah.
You know, we're all busy. We're trying to do our work and be efficient, and it's hard to sit down and have a comprehensive conversation with patients about how to have a healthy lifestyle. But you know, at the end of the day, your health belongs to you, and you have to take control of it.
Yeah.
But I think that on that same token, there's a lot of misinformation online. It's hard to know exactly where to start. It can be a little intimidating. But in general, if you want to really cut it down to a short soundbite,
mm-hmm.
eat less sugar and processed foods, have a high-protein diet, and stay active and keep your motion up.
There you go. And don't forget carbs. You got to have carbs. That's what runners say anyhow, because, you know, you're burning different types of energy. You know, there are people that do the high-protein. They'll do the intermittent fasting, but they might not run 30 miles a week either. So, you know, everybody's a little bit different on how their activity levels are, and you have to fuel for that as well.
Absolutely. If you want to get in the nitty-gritty of the sports and actually performance athletes, you have to, there's a lot of different avenues of nuance you can go down.
Sure. So you mentioned that when you were in college, you got the freshman 20. Is that when your real passion for wellness began, or did it start before or later? Or tell us a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. That was the key. I didn't really think about it much at all when I was younger. I just took it for granted, my health, just like most teenagers do, I think. Yeah. You know, we have fast metabolisms. We can do anything. You can stay up till 4 a.m. and be fine the next day. That stops happening, you know, as we get older. And when I was just completely unleashed to eat whatever I wanted from the cafeteria, I saw the results pretty quickly, even at the age of 18.
Yeah.
So that's really where it all started.
So for those that want to get started maybe with a healthier lifestyle and wellness, and also I want to talk about how you can protect your joints too, because, you know, I've got a friend that just had double knee replacement, and he's like 2 years older. He's maybe 60. You know, and that seems young to have a double knee replacement.
It's a little young. There's a lot of things that go into that.
Sure.
But I'll try to give you broad strokes. There are genetic and environmental factors that can play at advanced degenerative changes of your knees. However, in general, if you're eating low inflammatory foods, if you're staying active, if you're keeping your muscle tone up just by doing some light resistance training, these are all broad ideas that could help preserve your joint health.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talk to these people. I worked the factory for 40 years and stood on a concrete floor and worked 12-hour shifts. That's going to take a toll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My back hurts all the time. My back hurts thinking about that.
Right.
So, yeah. And anybody that's has stood on concrete for any amount of time, over an hour or more, you start to feel it.
Absolutely.
You know, and it comes through. So, you know, eating healthy, staying active. Talk about supplements. Are there are good supplements, bad supplements? I mean, for me personally, every morning I drink an electrolyte mix, you know, mm-hmm. first thing in the morning, Element, because it's got what I need to keep me going through the day and through the week. But talk about how supplements can impact a person.
I think there's some supplements that are incredibly useful and some that are just a big waste of your money. And we'll talk about that. I also like to give a disclaimer that supplements are sort of 5% of the game. If you're eating McDonald's every day,
yeah.
If you're binge drinking, smoking, staying up all night, not getting sleep, supplements aren't going to help you.
Yeah.
You got to do the big stuff first. So sometimes people's like, oh, if I take this pill, I'm going to feel better.
It's in the title. It's a supplement.
That's right. So as long as everything else is keyed in and you're living a relatively healthy lifestyle, that's when you should consider supplements. So things like electrolytes, a lot of people, I have a whole episode just on electrolytes. Mm-hmm. And I think electrolyte supplementation can be great, especially if you're very active and you're losing a lot of fluid while you're exercising. I just did an episode on creatine, was actually my most recent episode. That one's really interesting to me because, you know, it was really popular in the 90s for muscle strength, performance, and endurance. But there's all these all this data now coming out showing that it might actually help cognition, improve memory, brain function, and maybe preserve people who are starting to lose memory and having a little bit of touch of early dementia, Alzheimer's disease, all these different degenerative things.
I'm
going to
write
about
a note so I don't forget that. Creatine.
The creatine, yeah. So that's one that I think is going to show a lot of promise, even for the elderly in terms of neuroprotective effects. So that's one I really like. I'm also a big proponent of vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Vitamin D and calcium in general. A lot of people in the United States have a vitamin D deficiency. So in general, I'd recommend most people take that. I think that zinc and magnesium are both trace element supplements that are very helpful for people for wound healing and for sleep quality. Now you start talking about, you know, turmeric is one I hear about a lot. I think there's some studies to show that it can help reduce inflammation in your body. I've seen some success with it. In general, most of these supplements are safe. The question is, are you just throwing away your money for something that's not going to do anything?
And the answer is?
The ones that I mentioned, I think, are all worthwhile.
Okay.
You start getting into, let me think, the theanine, and there's all these other supplements, CLA supplements for fat burning. If you see something that says fat burning on it,
yeah,
chances are you shouldn't take it, in my opinion.
What about just a good old-fashioned multivitamin?
That's a great question. Big debate. I'm seeing some research on this showing that there is some benefit to taking multivitamins. The problem with a lot of multivitamins is the dosage of vitamins you're getting is not adequate to actually make a difference. They're just saying, oh, we've got 100 vitamins, but they're all in very low doses. The other thing you have to look at is the quality of the vitamin and how it's being processed. And that can be difficult for consumers to differentiate. So I personally choose to more to focus on what I consider high-yield supplements and take those in pure form rather than putting it all in a multivitamin.
I got you.
In my opinion, just taking a multivitamin doesn't do that much for you.
So talking about middle-aged men who have trouble getting rid of a little belly fat and they can work out all week, all day long.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Cortisol?
Yeah, they talk about cortisol belly.
Yeah, yeah. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's another controversial one. You're hitting on some good questions. And we talked about stress on the podcast also and cortisol mm-hmm. and chronic stress and low sleep. I think most of it comes from poor sleep. Yeah. You know, having chronically elevated cortisol levels, if you have a regular circadian rhythm where you're sleeping at 7 to 8 hours every night at the same time, is supposed to help reduce your cortisol levels. And people who stay up all night and, you know, only sleep 5 hours a night, that tends to have this chronic elevation, which can throw all of your hormones out of whack.
Right.
And usually leads to fat retention and poor performance during the day. Now you can have different medical problems that might make it so that they're elevated no matter what you do.
Yeah.
But in general, trying to lower your stress in your life, easier said than done. Having regular, good quality sleep is the thing that I think most people can do to have a dramatic change in their life.
Yeah, sleep is, I think most people realize that if you're consistent, I'm to the point now where I'm sleeping 8 hours every day, you know, because we don't have kids in the house anymore. And, you know, we just kind of wake up and get going when we want for the most part. So that's not a problem. But, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that A, have trouble sleeping, or, you know, B, they just do these weird hours. And like you say, stay up late at night. Are you seeing more issues that typically would affect more middle-aged people affecting younger people now because maybe of the sedentary lifestyle and not the good sleep habits and not eating right and doing all the things they should be doing at a younger age than, say, later in life?
Absolutely. And a lot of it comes down to knee arthritis. You see a lot of, unfortunately, diabetes and obesity and sedentary lifestyles accelerate arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do see people in their late 40s and early 50s with advanced arthritis in their knees. And a lot of times it's too late for me to do much besides something surgical.
Yeah.
And I think with a sedentary lifestyle, you are just more prone to getting aches and pains.
Right.
I do a lot of shoulder work. Mm-hmm. I just see people, I went to work out for the first time and I tore my rotator cuff. And, you know, they hadn't really done anything in 10 years. And this not to try to shame anybody. I'm glad that they're out there trying to exercise, but, you know, they get out to this intense exercise and hit the gym real hard and having done nothing before and they're very injury prone.
Yeah, so you gotta ease into it. You don't just go back to the gym and start crushing, you know, 300 pounds on the bench press.
I see that a lot in young men. When I say young men, I mean, let's say they've had kids, they've got that dad bod.
Yeah.
Now their kids are getting a little bit older, a little bit more independent. They say, I'm going to go back and work out again. I'm going to go back and bench press we'll say 250 pounds and they can't do it anymore and they get hurt.
Yeah.
I do see a lot of that.
Yeah. So yeah, to ease into it.
Yes.
And you talked about, you know, resistant exercises and even body weight exercises. I mean, you know, being able to do air squats or doing a few push-ups or crunches and things like that where you don't even need any equipment. That's a good way to start. Would you agree with that?
It's a great place to start. If you feel like you don't have access to a gym or equipment, just doing push-ups, sit-ups, air squats, or even wall squats where you go up against a wall to do it is a great place to start. There's a lot of data to show, especially in women with osteoporosis and poor bone quality, that if you add a little resistance training, it can dramatically reduce your risks of hip and spine fractures, though. So if you can build your way up even to light resistance training, I highly recommend it for all age groups. Let's say 16 years and up.
Okay, fantastic. So we've talked a little bit about exercise, preventative maintenance, and health trends. You want to elaborate any more on any of those three items there? Because I think, you know, preventative maintenance is just key for me. You know, I think, you know, and especially men my age, even guys younger than me. And I talk to men about this because, you know, I got a lot of men friends. And I say, listen, guys, when that check engine light comes on, go get the hood, lift the hood, check out, see what's going on there.
If I had to try to boil it down to a couple small points, I would hit again on the importance of sleep. You know, we're doing so much damage to ourselves by not getting good quality sleep. Everyone, if they're physically able to do so, should be on some sort of resistance exercise regimen. Mm-hmm. And then you got to eat right. You know, we're eating excessive calories and sugar and these foods that cause inflammation. And that just catches up to us over time, no matter how much you exercise.
Yeah. Any new health trends you're seeing out there or hearing about that are positive?
I'm going to go on sleep again. This is the one I've been pushing. I think is a really positive trend, and I've used this in my life as blue light blocking glasses. Mm-hmm. And I have no affiliation with any company. You can buy cheap blue light blocking glasses on Amazon. But I put them on an hour before bed, and it helps me fall asleep. It gives me better quality sleep because that blue light from the TV screen, the laptop, the iPhones, it stimulates your brain not to release melatonin, so it makes you restless when you get down to bed. And that's one that's become very popular that I think is very, very good.
Okay.
Highly recommended if people are having trouble sleeping. The other one is this big movement for people just getting up and walking and hitting that 10,000 step marker. I see that talked about a lot, and I think that's a really, really good trend. Because even if you don't feel like you want to go to the gym and get on a treadmill or lift weights because you're intimidated, just get outside and hit steps.
Yeah.
There's large studies. When I say large, I mean 10,000 people, Harvard studies that show that this increases your lifespan just by getting out and walking.
Absolutely. And you know, 10,000 steps may seem like a lot, but you could knock that out walking around a block a time or two and, knock a big chunk of it out.
That's a great – I'm really glad you said that because it reminded me of one other thing I want to talk about. You know, 10,000 steps in one walk is a long time, but another thing I like to encourage people to do is get up and walk after meals.
Yeah.
You eat breakfast, go walk 10 minutes outside. You eat lunch, take your lunch break, go walk 10 minutes outside. And that actually helps drop your blood sugar spiking after a meal. So you can start adding up those steps incrementally throughout the day while also regulating your blood sugar at the same time.
Awesome. So talk about wellness in the workplace. I know I'm kind of getting off here, but I'm a firm believer that you see more workplaces now offering wellness plans.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pay for your gym membership. They'll do those things like that because there is a direct correlation. And I have to tie this in because we're technically an economic development and business podcast, so we're gonna bring this around to the business aspect. You know, absenteeism is a big thing in the workplace, and a lot of time it's because of their lifestyle. It's not because of they're not able to do their job, but they may not be getting the right amount of sleep. They may not be eating right. They may not be getting any exercise. And that has a huge financial impact on any entity, regardless of where you are.
Absolutely. I can tell you from Graves Gilbert's perspective, there's definitely incentive programs in place to help. You know, I get probably emails once or twice a week about health and wellness opportunities, incentives to try to reduce premiums on insurance. You know, you get your blood pressure checked, blood sugar checked, get all these screening for free. So Graves Gilbert's definitely taking that initiative and trying to make that awareness for our employees. The other thing we've been talking about, and this is still taking shape, is trying to figure out where does preventative medicine and wellness, you know, fall in for the public? How can we facilitate that? For a long time, that's not really been in the general scope of practice for doctors. I think a lot of it's more we prevent chronic illnesses, we treat illnesses when they come. But you're seeing places like Hopkins and Cleveland Clinic actually develop their own departments of wellness and holistic medicine.
Yeah,
and I think that's a growing trend, and that's something we've had discussions about here in Bowling Green too.
Yeah, because you'd rather be proactive than reactive in anything, and that includes your health.
Absolutely. So I think that's definitely a growing trend. So we see it in our workplace personally. I'd love to see it expanded more into the general public and seeing programs to educate people from opinions and sources that they can trust.
Well, and I know with many of the industries that I work with, including there's one I drove by the other day and I saw the Graves Gilbert trailer out there, you know. So I know Graves Gilbert's in getting into businesses and working with employers to you know, help them be proactive on wellness and be proactive in cutting down that absenteeism, because there is a dollar that equates to when it's all said and done. And we're going to have a podcast where we talk about HR, and, you know, the cost of onboarding an employee is substantial. And, you know, you invest this money in them, you want them to show up to work, but you also want them to be healthy and be able to function properly.
Have less injuries, have less sick days.
Yeah.
You know, there's the human compassion side of things. Obviously, we want our patients to be happy and healthy, our employees to be happy and healthy. But you're right, there's even a business side of things to incentivize that as well, just to be more productive.
Yeah.
I will say, I've been very pleased. I'm obviously biased towards Graves Gilbert, but I've been pleased to see how they're integrating themselves in the community. I'm seeing more and more of that since the leadership has really taken that role.
Yeah.
And I think it's making a positive, a real positive change.
Yeah. And I know there's some programs that they're doing, the walking programs and things like that, that they're getting involved in, sponsoring 5Ks and all this fun stuff. And that's, you know, that's just what it takes. It takes everybody sort of preaching from the same hymnal here to say, hey, listen, get out, walk a few miles. Don't go to McDonald's every day of the week. Go once a week. You know, right. Just changing little things you can change. And, you know, it doesn't take but, 6 weeks to create a habit.
That's what they say.
Yeah. So, you know, create good habits.
Easier said than done. But, you know, you can't expect change overnight. It takes a constant drumbeat from multiple people who are trusted and also living that example themselves.
So let's talk about that change overnight, because that's what a lot of people want. You know, we live in a culture now where it's instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to your health, nothing happens overnight. Typically, it takes time, including if you're on the road to wellness or if you're on the road to a healthier lifestyle. It takes incremental change over time, and then you'll see the results. It just, you know, I've eaten healthy all week and I haven't lost 1 pound.
Yeah.
You know,
if you can figure out how to make people happy to not have overnight change, you tell me how you figured that out, because I don't know the answer.
Well, and you can't. And that's what I'm getting at. And yeah. I think, you know, patience has to come into play here. And, mm-hmm. and you know, people, and I'm speaking in broad terms, but, you know, patience is run thin with a lot of folks these days.
Certainly. In medicine, half of my job is setting expectations. So I think if you're talking from a clinical standpoint as a physician, it's very important that I set expectations with my patients. If I'm going to do surgery, I need to tell them, you're not going to feel better on day one. It's going to take 6 months of rehab once we fix your rotator cuff.
Yeah.
I think that we can do the same thing about diet and understand that there's going to be some pain and suffering on the front end when you cut out the Mountain Dew and the sweet tea
yeah.
and McDonald's, but you're going to really have good rewards down the road. And we just have to emphasize that.
Yeah. And we're not picking on McDonald's. Everybody loves McDonald's.
Yeah, we can throw somebody else in there.
Yeah, just do it in moderation, right?
That's right.
It's everything in moderation.
That's right. Believe me, I'm not the perfect eater. I enjoy a good steak. I enjoy a good hamburger. I'm not perfect either.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so you have your podcast as well. Tell us about your podcast. What's the name of it?
Sure, it's The Wellness Blueprint with Dr. Caleb Davis.
Uh-huh.
And we just cover all sorts of topics. In fact, you've hit on a lot of them. I talk about different supplements, creatine, vitamin D. I've had 2 episodes on sleep. We do episodes like what is inflammation and what does that actually mean? What just try to take these buzzword topics in health that are so nebulous and try to break it down for people. I cite research, scientific data, and try to explain it to people in an easy to digest way. And then because I'm pretty boring and technical to listen to, my wife's on there to try to laugh at me and make fun of me.
Well, sure.
It makes a pretty good dynamic.
Yeah, usually does.
Yeah.
So does she have a background in healthcare as well?
She just listens to me talk and talk and talk.
Okay. No,
she's also a professional cello player.
Okay.
Much more talented than I am. I have to say that up front.
So dueling cellos.
Oh, yeah. So we've been playing together since we were 13 years old.
And, yeah.
We still enjoy playing, although not professionally anymore. But she just makes it lighthearted and she's easy to talk to and she's very approachable. So I think, if it weren't for her, I don't think anyone would listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I get that. That's why I have to have a special guest on every 2 weeks to help me through it. And we will put the link to your website, for the podcast and your Graves Gilbert Clinic page as well in our show notes. Anything we didn't talk about that you'd like to point out to those listening today?
Yeah, if you're considering trying to improve your health, you know, you're thinking, okay, yeah, it's time for a change. You've listened to these conversations. I'd encourage you to talk to your physician and tell them that you want to talk about lifestyle modification. There are resources. Going on YouTube and the internet is daunting. So trying to find the right information, try to help let your physician guide you to get through those correct resources. There are nutritionists and professionals who can make these structured plans for you as well. And sometimes there's even insurance incentives that might help offset the cost of that as well for gym memberships and a nutritionist and getting you an informed, detailed, tailored plan for you. So there is a place to go, and I'd encourage you to do it if you're considering it.
Yeah, and you just touched on something there that we did talk about, but most insurance companies, most health insurance plans now, they want you to go get your annual physical. They want you to go get your skin scan, your dermatology appointment. You know, those are things because that helps them save money in the long run.
Absolutely.
So, you know, catching those things before they become a problem. And so, you know, check with your health insurance plan to see what's covered. You can have a lot of these checkups that you can get that there will be no cost because it's part of your insurance policy.
And a lot of people aren't even aware that those programs exist. And if you ask your physician, they can usually get you plugged in.
Yeah, and you can call Graves Gilbert Clinic for more information on that as well.
Absolutely. We have a wide variety of physicians who provide different services, but we have an expansive list of primary providers.
Yeah, and of course, Graves Gilbert is expanding their footprint in the region as well. They're in not just Warren County anymore. They're in surrounding counties, so there are resources available for anybody that's within the South Central Kentucky region. For Graves Gilbert Clinic, and really they have all medical service covered. I mean, I go my rheumatologist, my gastro doctor, my dermatologist. They're all at Graves Gilbert, yeah. So you can get everything you need kind of in a one stop shop.
That's right.
So awesome. Well, hey, this has been a lot of fun and very informative, and I'm glad you came on the podcast. And I would encourage those listening to check out Dr. Davis's podcast as well. And as I mentioned, I'll put the link in the show notes as well as his page for Graves Gilbert Clinic. Anything else you want to cover?
I think that covered it, but I really appreciate you having me on. I really enjoyed talking to you and on our Apopka connection.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk more about that offline. But hey, Dr. Caleb Davis, thanks for being on the DeCesare Group podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Dr. Caleb Davis, orthopedic surgeon at Graves Gilbert Clinic, for joining us this week on the DeCesare Group podcast, and thank you for checking us out. Hey, if you like what you hear, please share it with a friend, and don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, leave us a review, and share your feedback with us as well. You can also follow the DeCesare Group podcast across all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and YouTube. The podcast is a companion to our newsletter, Soke Economic Development and Business News, which you can subscribe to on our website, thedecesaregroup.com. It'll hit your inbox every Monday morning. The DeCesare Group podcast is produced by the DeCesare Group, a public relations and consulting firm based in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Our engineer and doctor of sound is Justin DeCesare, with content contributions from Brooke Mattingly. Amy DeCesare is our writer and producer. I'm Jim DeCesare, and join us again next time for the DeCesare Group podcast.